Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to Is This Good? The show where we boldly, conclusively, and scientifically decide what things in this big wide world are good. I'm Matt Austin, and with me as always is production powerhouse Jason Doyle.
Hello.
Hi, JD. Thanks for coming. I hope you're appreciating this crystal clear audio that's coming through the Shure MV7 microphone that I just got. It's too good, as we say in the No Dunks office. We used to talk about how things were too good. It's just picking up this guy outside my window vacuuming his car. Okay?
We just picked you up knocking around your schwanz in the old bathroom over there. It's so high tech and high powered.
Oh my god, that is concerning. Also, can you clarify that I was knocking it around to pee? Not
right.
For any
yes.
other reason.
Yeah. To pee.
Do we have a guest? Do we have a guest today, JD?
We absolutely do.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me introduce. Today's guest is an undersized pass first point guard that's never lost a foot race. Despite being diagnosed with what doctors call weird foot, he's managed to bind those bulging hoofs into narrow pairs of Vaporflies to log some truly impressive marathon times. From No Dunks, the oldest and best basketball podcast on the planet, he's still upset Ye stole his name to make fun of Pete Davidson. It's J.E. Skeets. Skeets, welcome to Is This Good?
Thanks for having me back. I wasn't sure if you wanted me to talk and chime in when you guys were talking about sedans and schlongs, but I too heard your very healthy-sounding piss,
yeah.
I would say. I guess mere feet away. How close was the washroom to the mic? How tiny is this apartment you and Jill stay in? But
it's about 100 yards, I would say.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Well, that mic is great, and your piss stream is strong, sir.
It is good to hear you say that, because at my advanced age, I do find, and maybe JD, you can relate, of like the start
stop.
Don't
bring me into this.
Well, you're 10 years older, so you know what it's like to do the start stop.
Oh, 100%, 100%.
Skeets, you got the start stop?
No, I almost want to ask. You mean you're peeing,
oh,
and then
JD,
suddenly it just.
He's so confused, he doesn't even know what it is.
No.
His piss has been one interrupted stream, like he's pouring out a water bottle for his whole life. He doesn't even know what it's like on the other side.
God.
JD, why don't you explain it to him?
Yeah, all I can say, Skeets, is enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Enjoy your life, Sonny, because. You know, it'll dribble to a stop, and then you go, I guess I'm done. And then all of a sudden, I'm not done. It's still coming
out. Wow.
Yeah.
Just
it's like two
it's
separate
like there's
pisses.
There's like a kink in the garden hose.
Mm-hmm. Exactly
you,
right. Exactly
okay.
right.
Wow.
Well, God bless you, Skeets. I hope you never know. I don't know. You're so like... You are weirdly indestructible. Like, you look at you look a
look
bit
fragile.
Frail.
Yeah.
But like, for instance... You could eat anything and your stomach, like you once had diarrhea in 2016 and you were like, is this what your life is always like? And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I can't imagine that. I'd probably just kill myself.
I definitely had diarrhea once in Cuba. It was Cuba or Dominican Republic. Yeah. I was on a trip and it was the worst I ever had it. And I do remember thinking, oh my God, Matty O and other people I know go through this every 3 days. This is hell.
That's what happens when Rachel has a headache once a year, basically. She's
right.
Like, this is your life? Like, yeah, pretty
yeah,
much.
That's tough.
Pretty much.
That's tough.
Hey, babe, hot girls have IBS. Hot girls have migraines, okay? Everyone knows that. Any ailments, Skeets? I want you to tell me something that's going wrong with you. You're even older than me. Nothing's gone wrong with you?
No, I mean, I have reached the age, and maybe it's because of the running, and maybe it's because of the basketball, whatever it is, but I do have the odd, like, back pain, back issues. I'll wake up.
This is what I like to hear.
I'll wake up with a very sore lower back. A couple years ago, It got quite scary. I remember I woke up and was like, I can't get out of bed. like that type of pain in sort of I couldn't put on my shoes type of thing. So that was a bit of a concern. I don't know if it was a pinched nerve or something, but so that's my along with my weird foot, my back issues, I guess, is my problem in getting older.
Hey, happy to hear it.
He's coming down with us, man.
Jesus, yeah, man. If we were capsized, you guys would just like try it. You'd just hold on to me and
we're like
drown me, man.
We're cinder blocks, man. Yeah.
You got diarrhea when the Titanic goes down.
Like when I was training for my first marathon, I had like a IT band strain, my knee, I had runner's knee.
Yeah.
I had tennis elbow. I wasn't carrying a racket. Just kidding. Yeah, tennis elbow. But like you're running these marathons. You never have a problem. You're pissing clear. I bet that.
No, that's probably one of my issues. I mean, the stream doesn't stop and go, but I definitely don't drink enough water. I try and drink more water. I get a little yellow for sure. Way too yellow, but I have it
easily
in my
correctable.
I have it in my to-do list every day. Drink 32 ounces of water. Wow. I have to remind myself.
How much? One reminder, or is it like 8 ounces at a time?
No, I do. There are apps for drinking water. Yeah. I don't go that crazy. It's just in my general to-do.
We are so fucking stupid. The modern world is so stupid. An app for drinking
water. Oh, there absolutely
the app
is.
For drinking water is your mouth.
No,
I mean,
it's no, no. People need to be reminded, or it's like, some people like to make things games. I do myself as well. Hell, running. I really got into running when suddenly there was apps that you could track how long you're running, how fast you're running, stuff like that. It gamifies it a little bit.
Yeah.
I just have it in my daily to-do list, and it says every day, drink 32 ounces of water. And when I do it and when I check it, it just goes immediately to the next day because I don't drink enough water. And
have you considered getting one of those dork water bottles that's like, I don't know, a gallon or something like that, and it has the levels on it, and it's like, by 11 a.m. you should be here by 2.
No, and I drink water insanely because, I want to drink 32 ounces, let's say. I don't even know why I made it that. That sounded like a decent amount of water to drink in a day.
I don't know what an ounce is. I have no idea.
It's a big,
jug,
I guess, sure. Of water. But point is, I'm such a weirdo that I'll be like, oh, damn, I haven't drank enough water today, or I haven't, checked this off because I haven't drank in my 32 ounces yet. Well, chug, 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 chug. Like, I don't drink it throughout the day.
Binge drinks.
Yeah, I just binge drink, and then I'll, have like I'm having right now, which is very risky on a podcast. A no-name or Kroger, I guess.
Yeah.
Thanks, JD.
Yeah.
Root beer. Zero sugar, but might have a burp or two in this pod here.
Nice.
Matty-o.
What are you drinking root? What are you, 12? No
because,
wonder.
Because I opened that fridge over there, and JD and his wife have a lot of selections.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, root beer. When I see a root beer in the wild, it's like, I'm always like, yeah, take me back to being 12. And, not as good without the sugar, but
yeah,
still.
Oh, it's a zero cal or whatever?
It's zero sugar, zero calories, yeah. Caffeine free.
Yeah. I understand that they probably like, because Coke and Diet Coke are so popular that I trust that they put the necessary food science into making the zero sugar version.
Yeah.
Like a Coke Zero. But I don't think like the people at Barks, Barks has Bite. Look, you take the sugar, you take out the bite. I guess the bite comes from the ginger root.
Yes. Also, I'm more of a mug man myself.
Mm.
Wow. Okay, Barks is a Pepsi product.
Say
we
this
in
Atlanta?
In wow. Yeah. I have it backwards?
You have it backwards, I think.
Barks is Coke?
I think so.
Oh, I thought Mug was Coke. No. Anyway, I'm drinking the Kroger Big K, whatever the hell that is.
It's definitely Mug.
It says on the side of the can, sip freely.
Nice.
Very nice. Very nice. So, yeah, cheers.
Cheers to you. All right, let's get to housekeeping because I have a broken vacuum cleaner. And I just... yesterday successfully returned it under its warranty. They're sending me a new one. Isn't that amazing?
How long was the warranty?
2 years, I think.
Wow, it broke in 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
A lot of vacuum?
The people there, I don't want to mix up this brand in this, okay? But let's just say that there was a U.S. president named after this vacuum. No, probably a vacuum named after this U.S. president.
Yeah, wow, okay, one of the original vacuums.
Okay. Damn!
That's right. I own a Grover Cleveland. let's just say that this vacuum is named after president. Let's just say that president has a dam named after him, okay?
Yeah.
And a good one, not the shitty one that Vin Diesel drives down in Fast X.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay. Let's just say that it's also like a synonym. Like, if you suck up a bunch of cocaine, people say, you really that up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay? Shark. All right, so the good people at Hoover said to me, to prove that this is that, because like I went through the customer service and they went through the diagnostics and the troubleshooting, and then they said, take a video of the vacuum not working.
No.
Come on. Yes.
I swear to God. So I got the vacuum in my left hand. I got my iPhone in my right hand. I'm like recording and I'm narrating. I'm like, all right, you see that the brush is rolling. And then as soon as I get on the carpet, The brush stops moving.
Jams
right?
up now it's, or, oh, okay, yeah.
It's jammed up. It's stuck on the thing. And I took this whole vacuum apart. I watched a YouTube video how to take the whole thing apart.
Really?
I mean, not the electronics, obviously, but I took the entire brush roll out of the bottom, cleaned it, you know, got out the pair of scissors, was cutting the hair. Anyways, they didn't believe me. I took a video, sent it in. Then they said, all right, we're sending you a new one. But before we send you the new one, you must send us a picture of the cord of the vacuum cut off. These people are fucking sick.
Wow.
Like, this What's is like the reason for that?
Ransom with Mel Gibson.
They think that he's trying to get two vacuums.
Yeah.
So you have to cut the cord so that you cannot use this defective vacuum. That's insane.
Yeah. If I cut my cord to my vacuum cleaner, do I still get ESPN? That's crazy. I've never heard of that.
People haven't been vacuuming as much since Roku came out. You know?
Hey, can I tell you my vacuum run story that we had?
Sure.
So we moved here with a Dyson, a vacuum.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to Dyson.
Hell yeah.
Okay? No president's named Dyson, I don't think.
Not an ad. This is not an ad.
Somebody in cabinet, I'm sure.
The Dyson died. We had it for like 4 years. We bought it at a Costco in Canada. That's important. We came down here. We used the vacuum. It was fine. But then it died. And so we took it back to Costco. And they returned it. And we got a new Dyson.
Oh.
Brand new Dyson. After 4 years. We used that Dyson here in the United States for 6 years. It stopped working. Rachel, I said, don't do it. She said, I'm doing it. I said, don't do it. She takes that six-year-old Dyson back to Costco and says, this vacuum doesn't work.
Yeah, no shit. And they vacuumed a thousand times with it. They
brought it up the thing. They have a record of every single thing, every little bit of beef jerky or toilet paper. It's all on our record. They know that we returned this Dyson vacuum cleaner 6 years ago. And she's like, it does not work. And I think the woman even said, like, well, don't you think, like, how long would you expect it to, your vacuum to work? And she didn't even blink. She said 10 years.
That's not unreasonable. Planned obsolescence, right? Same reason your iPhone stops working after 2 years. They want you to get a new one.
Right.
They're putting that new software on there, gumming up the works.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, I don't know. Was there software in your Dyson? Probably. They're
there
expensive.
There might have been.
Apple CarPlay in it? Was there a backup camera on it?
It's
similar, and it's not apples to apples. Anyways, they returned it. She said, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, it should last for 10 years. And I think there is a 10-year warranty on a Dyson anyways. But it was like that was an exchange. So we got 10 years of Dyson, and now we got a brand new one. And like this thing was falling apart. She was like, here, it's like filthy, dirty, like. Never change the filter.
You
got to
clean
probably.
It first, Rachel, before you take it back.
Nope.
So that they don't say, oh, well, have you tried cleaning it? Do they still have that pneumatic tube system at Costco?
Pneumatic tube? Oh, I don't know, actually.
Like where they put the money in and then they go shunk and it goes into the pipes? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
at least that's
how
it used to work last time I had a Costco.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, I've never had a Costco member. Do you have a Costco membership, Skeets?
No, I don't.
You got a house.
I just piggyback on
pantry space.
I piggyback on my buddy Grish. Mm. who definitely has one and feels like
he takes you to
there.
Fill up your car. Is that
I've gone a couple of times and I see you know why it makes sense. I mean, I guess but I don't like having too much stuff.
Yeah. That's a problem.
And there's only a reason to go there is to have too much stuff because you're getting a discount on it.
You're right.
It's like, I don't care. I don't care that much for the discount. I don't want 10, you know, packages of toilet paper and paper towels. And no. I don't. We don't have that big a place.
This guy wants a gallon of water, but he doesn't want a gallon of mayonnaise? No, hypocrite alert. all right, let's get to the real housekeeping, okay? Because in 10 to 12 business days, I will be getting a new Hoover vacuum, okay? Mm.
Okay.
That's already been solved. What hasn't been solved is if you are listening to this in the No Dunks feed, you should also be subscribing to the Is This Good feed. Why? You're saying, I'm listening to this in the No Dunks feed. Everything's fine. Well, you're missing a show every week. JD and I do a show called The Great Beyond. Mm-hmm. It's very funny. Some people say it's better than this show. Not this show that we're recording right now. This is the best show we've ever done. But some of the worst shows that we've done. That show is better than the worst shows we've done, which I just damn myself with faint praise. Also, after the summer... This will not be in the No Dunks feed anymore, so you should get used to having it in the Is This Good feed. And also, if you want to watch the video, that's only on the Is This Good YouTube, which you should subscribe to. We also have merch, isthisgoodpod.com, the Is This Good retro logo tee. And don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. So, Skeets, the premise of the show is very simple. I'm going to give you a topic. You tell me if it's good. First topic, here we go. Hot tubs. Or hot tubs. Are they good?
What a banger to start with.
Deep sigh, because I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to go to the end and tell you.
Yeah.
Landslide victory for good.
Really? Wow. Okay.
That's interesting. Right?
Yeah.
Right. So that's why I think that I want to come in here and temper people's enthusiasm a little bit. Because 80% of people, 80% of people said hot tubs are good.
I understand.
I think they're a little overrated.
Overrated, sure. But you would ultimately, wouldn't you go good and not hot tubs bad? Like, in the end. We're going to get into why they're maybe bad. They're pretty damn gross. Mm-hmm. You know, at least personally, like, there are only certain instances where I want to be in a hot tub. It's not like it's something I want to own and be in all every night or something like that. I'm sure you have other reasons. So I get that, but... And again, you've had fun times in hot tubs, no doubt.
Yeah, but that's, I think the application of the hot tub is way more limited than people think. Like, what I think about when I think about hot tubs is that the people that truly love them are kids.
Yeah.
Because they love being in a pool that's like, oh, my size. Like the same way they like being in a Power Wheels car.
Right.
Because that is their size. And old people who are like, yeah, I don't, like, I don't know. The warm water heals my bones.
I mean, it is therapeutic. It can be good for people's, like, for muscles. And I guess it, like, helps people even, like, sleep, like, whatever it does. Not in the hot tub, but, you know, it's like a warm bath, I guess. Yeah. That's what it is.
You know, it's soothing. I mean, it's a jacuzzi, the bubbles.
Oh, the bubble. The jets. Yeah.
The jets are fine. Then you got to get up in the freezing cold, go over to the machine, turn the dial back up. Ugh, terrible. If you think about it, though, the hot tub was like the precursor to all like the Tim Ferriss style body hacking, like the cold plunge. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say that the hot tub is the gateway drug to the cold plunge, because you get hot, then you go get cold, or like the infrared sauna, or like the sensory deprivation tank. Mm-hmm. The hot tub has always been there for us, and maybe it's a little bit obsolete, but I will agree, Skeets, that we have had fun. We have had fun times in a hot tub.
I remember we tossed one a couple specific rubber duckies. Night at a cottage where there was way too many people in a hot tub. And do you remember? Okay. Do you remember that? What that hot tub looked like the next day?
Okay, well, let's talk about that first of all.
What are we talking? Well, like, what? Are we, like, somebody shit in it, or
no?
Just, I mean, maybe.
I mean, yeah, I guess. It's not impossible. I guess it's possible, but. It was the grossest looking body of water I've ever seen. Like, I mean, people were getting in and out, and that's a part of it, right?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, the debauchery that's going on in this damn thing. It was.
People are ashing in it.
Yeah. I mean,
not on purpose, but, you know.
Yeah.
Beer is being swilled into
beer, there
it.
There was champagne bottle. There was. That was pandemonium. That was one. But that was a fun
and
ass
again,
night.
This is just me and Skeets in a hot tub. It's just the two of us.
And, oh, the next morning, though, man, you want to talk about, like, even you already feel bad. Like, oh, God, I was hammered last night. Wow. Oh, we did some fun things. That was wild. But, I hope I didn't go too crazy. And then you see the hot tub, and you're like, oh, we went too crazy. Like, I felt remorseful. I was like, oh, what do we do? We got to drain this. This is going to cost more money.
So it's a rental cottage.
It was a rental cottage. It was. Yeah. You remember how bad it was. It was atrocious.
The thing I like the time you most encounter hot tubs is in like an Airbnb situation, and I feel like they're always trying to get you to pay the cleaning, like the extra cleaning fee. It's like you know, in the fine print, it's like if it's not clean, you got to pay to clean it, and half the time it's like you don't even use it, and they're telling you to clean it because it's like impossible to keep them clean. This time we all woke up and looked and said, we would be proud to pay the cleaning fee for this. It would truly be an honor. to pay the cleaning fee for this.
But you also,
because it was
you look at
so
it and you're
sunscreen
like,
and like, oh.
And you look at it and you're like, oh my God, we were in that for hours. Like, it looked like that last night, but we couldn't tell because, you know, it's pitch black. It's obviously you're having a blast, but like, it was that dirty last night. But when the jets go off and the people aren't splashing around, it was brutal, JD. I can picture it in my mind right now.
So if it's a
like a witch's cauldron,
But if it's at a cottage, is it filled with lake water? Like,
No.
Is it chlorinated? I mean, like a pool?
Yeah, a hot tub is absolutely. They got to have something in there. Because when you go into a hot tub, it doesn't feel good on your skin.
No.
I think they probably have to have more chlorine or whatever in a hot tub because it's a smaller space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Feels like it.
And it usually is quite chemical smelling. And
yeah.
You want to have a shower after you get out of a hot tub.
Oh, very much. Well, no one took a shower after that. No. I can guarantee people just passing out. Do you think we could get... Like, hot tubs seem... So simple, right? Like, you could literally dig a hole, put boiling water. Okay, whatever. That part wouldn't be easy. But you know what I'm saying? Like, but yet, they always seem so temperamental. Like, they never seem to work. You go to turn it on, it never heats up. The top is impossible to get back on once you've taken it off.
Yeah.
It involves snaps. It's like the cover for like a very fancy speedboat or something.
Yeah. Right.
Like a rain cover or something. Anyways, I find them more difficult to use than they should be for something that the instructions should be push button, get in.
Yeah. Like, it's true. There seems to be like too many manufacturers of hot tubs. They're all like
you think
slightly
we need
different.
The state needs to take this over. This needs to be a government project.
Yeah.
We just need one. What do you think about the horniness of a hot tub skin? Overrated?
Well, again, I've never owned a hot tub, so I've never had my own to just have by myself or with Nora or something like that.
But just to interrupt, would you agree that people think of hot tubs as a horny space?
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, you're just close. You have to be close.
And if you're naked...
You're slippery. Yeah, there's little clothing. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's
usually you do it at night. Like, the kids obviously are going to jump in a hot tub whatever time. But, like, I mean, I want to say, like, most of the time I've ever been in a hot tub, it's at night.
Yeah.
Which is the horniest time.
It was the horniest time.
Yeah.
Horny o'clock, for sure.
It does seem like standard issue swinger equipment. It's like your basic
kit
comes with a pineapple and a hot tub and lube or something, you know? Like,
yeah, and a fishbowl for keys.
That's right.
Yeah.
Swinger starter kit. I love it. Did you have one at the Pink Palace in Greece, Jamie?
Oh, yes.
There was some going on.
There's
going
definitely,
on.
Oh, 100%. And actually, they only had a hot tub. That's the kind of place it was. It was sort of, no pool. It was just a very large hot tub that people just hung out in. all day. It was the grossest thing. That's why I think I'm kind of out on hot tubs, because they are fucking
disgusting. They are gross.
Yeah.
And you like,
but you were gross back then, JD.
Oh, totally. Yeah. That was a part of the problem. There's no doubt.
Oh, you were in the
hot tub. Oh, I was in there. There were a lot of carryings on in that hot tub.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
here's when I've enjoyed a hot tub, though. You brought up running at the start. I did. I flew to Washington State, did a marathon with my buddy Jared. You guys know Jared, and he had an Airbnb. He rented an Airbnb that did have a hot tub. I'll tell you what. After running 26 miles, coming back, it was a little rainy. You know, classic Pacific weather, Northwest weather, and jumping in the hot tub, have a beer. Yeah. Oh my God, it was. It actually was good. And then the other time is at a cottage here, at least in the South, during the winter when it somewhat gets cold. That's always fun at like a cabin or a cottage getaway, that if it has it. And
that's,
again, you're doing it at night and you're having a glass of wine. Totally. That's great.
To me, that's the only time that it's good is if in a cold climate, or like, you know, even like really cold back in Canada, you jump into the snow and then you jump into the hot tub. Like, that's fun. That's
the back and forth is great.
Yeah,
it is great. But I love.
But that's never why people. That's never what people think
you're
of
right.
when they think of the hot tub.
Yeah,
which is
right.
why I'm gonna, if I have to, and I do have to, because this is my show, I'm gonna say not good, because I think it's more. It's like right on the cusp for me.
Yeah,
it's like 49%.
I think I'm like 60-40 good.
Well, you would probably say 69-31, considering how horny you get in a hot tub.
Don't put your head under the water in a hot tub. I mean, we already talked about how dirty it is.
Yeah.
Well, don't open your eyes underwater, too. That's what I'm saying. Like, kids will jump in. It's like, oh, this is a tiny pool. They'll be looking for pennies at the bottom of that thing.
Yeah. I do like any time someone gets in a hot tub, they can't not comment on... It's either too hot or it's not hot enough. Like, I've never heard somebody get in a hot tub and go, perfect. No one ever done it. Generally, people go, ooh, that's hot. And then, you know, at first it is, right? It's quite a shock to your system.
Okay, oh, well, what up you? And then every time someone gets in a hot tub, someone else in the hot tub goes, you get used to it.
Yeah, you get used to it.
Oh, it's hot. You get used to it.
Yeah. And I do, I think there's something funny about when you get like 3, 4, 5 people in a hot tub, like configuring where everybody sits in a hot tub. Because they're always designed like so weirdly, right? Like there's like lounges in some of them and there's half seats and this one's got the jets and that one doesn't. Oh, my feet are going to be touching yours. I just love the dance of a hot tub where people sort of move.
Right.
I think it's very funny.
And as the water level creeps perilously to the top. I mean, that's the other thing. The next day you get out of a hot tub after, like, you know, a party like that, the water is concerningly low.
Oh, yeah. We have splashed it all out.
Yeah.
And then you just get a higher concentration of the filth in there. All right. Anyways, as I said earlier, 80% of people say hot tubs are good. Mm-hmm. You know why? We have a very horny audience.
Totally.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Hot tubs are expensive, you know. You wouldn't think they'd be all that expensive. They're just some plastic and water, really, at the end of the day, but they are.
Not that I've ever been in the market for one, you know, like, you know, you go to the exhibition, the CNE in Toronto, and then they always have the hot tub exhibit. You're like, God damn, $15,000 for this thing? I mean... It's got the LED
exhibit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. They all got lights now. They probably have speakers built in now. They're pretty sick now.
Come, children, to the Hall of the Hot Tub, where we will visit hot tubs past and present. All right. Well, you know what? You want to talk about convertible pants, Skeets? Because I'm ready to skip that topic right now.
Sure.
And go to something more important.
Okay? Before we move off a hot tub, can I ask you one question? Would you rather have, Matt, a hot tub, a sauna... Or I guess a cold plunge type thing. Which one would you want?
Sauna.
Yeah, I thought you'd say sauna.
Another, frankly, horny place. And there's no water getting in the way.
Yeah.
Would you have sex in a sauna?
Yeah, that's...
This is a great question. If this was live, I would do a poll. Hornier place, hot tub or sauna. What do you think would win?
Hot tub.
Hot tub for sure.
Hot tub. Yeah. You're in water.
So what?
You're not sitting on a teak bench that's never really all that comfortable.
True.
Of all the times that you've had sex, how many times has been in water?
Well, that's what's very fun little. About it. Yeah, that's true.
Right.
You're so actually, how could that be the hornier place?
Yeah, but the question was, what's the hornier place? It's the hot tub, but which place would you rather have sex? It's definitely the sauna.
Yeah, okay. That's two different questions, yeah.
Oh, God. Well, this is getting too titillating. I better make sure I shut off this microphone when this podcast is done.
Oh, okay? People have started putting saunas in their house. Also not a cheap thing.
What do you mean
do?
Started? What do you think? Well, in 1970, no one had a sauna in their house?
I don't think, like, rich people did. Yeah. Very rich people, but not the common man.
The common man is not putting saunas in their homes.
Yes, they are. They are now. I know one. His name's Pete.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my buddy Pete?
Sexy Pete.
Sexy Pete.
Pete Overzet.
He's wow. in Pete?
He's in the fantasy game.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, you bet he is.
Anyway, he installed a sauna with his dad. It looks cool.
Oh, okay.
Gross.
Gross.
Hey, that's his fantasy, not mine.
After we're done this, Dad, can you help me with the trapeze over the bed?
Dad, when we're done with the trapeze, I'd like to install a 4-inch shag carpet.
Oh, man. He's going to enjoy this. Anyway, it looks amazing. It looks incredible.
I bet it does.
His dad.
Is it a classic Swedish-style sauna?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is it like an infrared sauna?
I think it's infrared, actually.
Oh, so it's okay.
Yeah.
That I do agree more people are buying. Those are still expensive though.
Like
we're talking about the ones with just the red lights where it doesn't that is like a sports recovery thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it not teak or whatever? You're not.
No, it is like that. It looks exactly. Okay. It looks amazing. You're like, wow, this looks.
Huh.
I mean, you can build it, right? I think his dad's a carpenter or something. I don't know.
Nice.
Dad's a horny carpenter. You know who the original horny carpenter was? Jesus.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say it.
Yeah. Great body. I mean, you can't tell me he doesn't have a great body. That's all I'll say.
He's not a he to me, but okay.
All right. And you know, the Swedes are always naked in the sauna.
Yeah, well, for
right?
sure.
Isn't that a rule?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You cannot go in clothes.
But who would go into a sauna with clothes on? Even at the gym,
a towel around the waist.
Yeah.
No, we didn't even get into the steam.
The steam,
which is not synonymous with a sauna.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think of them as the same, but they're definitely different.
They're definitely different. I'll take fits. We've been in a hot tub together. You think we've ever been in a sauna together?
Yeah. Well, in Chicago with Benny the Bull.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay,
yes.
Now we need to go into steam. Now we need to go into steam together.
And hold on, Matt. Were you not... Ooh, now I'm not so sure you were. Yeah, you were at Ken's bachelor party in Montreal.
Yes.
And did you not come with us?
I didn't go to that.
To some like weird boat on the river.
Boda Boda. Yeah, spa.
It's called Boda Boda. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a spa, like a... They've made this vessel into like a retreat.
So it's a docked boat okay.
And they had it all there, like the cold plunges, the sauna. A lot of us were in the sauna. I thought you were there, but I guess you weren't.
No. I wasn't horny enough that day.
No, it was great for it. Great for the hangover. That's for
great
sure.
Great for the hangover.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, Skeets, not everyone is going to agree with everything you say, right? Just like people don't agree with me about hot tubs. But sometimes when you believe something deeply to your core, you have to stand alone on the edge of popular consensus. It's time for Unpopular Opinions. All right, if you have strongly held beliefs that most people disagree with, email them to me at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. This one was sent in by a listener. That listener's name is Daniel. He writes, or let me just say what the unpopular opinion is first.
Okay.
Pantsing should be called de-pantsing. All right?
Okay.
So he writes, hey, Matt, I have been a TBJ, the Starters, No Dunks listener since the No Season Required Tour. I've been loving the Is This Good pod that brings you back into our lives since you left the No Dunks crew. I have what I think is an unpopular opinion. When you pull someone's pants down in the style of the classic prank, it should be called de-pantsing. My friends and I called it that growing up, but it seems everyone outside my sphere calls it pantsing. I feel like I'm in crazy town. You declaw a cat, you deny a request, you deconstruct a Lego creation, you disrobe, so maybe dispants is acceptable, but it sounds stupid. Pantsing should be how I describe putting my pants on in the morning. Depantsing is embarrassing some hapless friend or foe. Thanks, I'm loving the show. It's a great concept. Shout out to the Lindshake and Jostens. Classic, that's Daniel from Bloomington, Illinois. So, we don't have to go too deep into the unpopular opinion, because I just mainly want to talk about pantsing. But, you know, I'll just jump in and say, Daniel, that's grammar, baby. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
you sound like a nerd that I would love to pants. He's got
flammable,
a point. He does have a point.
But flammable means something that can be easily set on fire.
Yeah.
So you might think inflammable means something that cannot be set on fire. But it doesn't mean that. Mm. Valuable is something valuable, so you might think invaluable is something not valuable, but it doesn't. Mm. Doesn't mean that. Thaw, you might think de-thaw means the opposite. It doesn't. They mean the same thing.
Wow.
Right? Really, and those are only the examples that I could think about. Try to figure out what to Google to get these words come up. It's hard.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's just grammar. I don't know what to tell you. But do you have anything to say before we get to pantsing on the de-pantsing controversy?
I mean, not really. I mean, when he broke it down with the clawing and the declawing, you're like, yeah, it is. You are de-pantsing someone or dispantsing. Mm-hmm. I like dispantsing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dismantsing.
Yeah, you're not really pantsing them. It'd be the opposite. It'd be like, you know, someone would come by, the bully would come by, de-pants the kid,
right,
and then... Mm-hmm. I don't know. The hero of the school comes over and actually pants the kids, pulls them back up.
Yeah, so, or repants.
Repants at that point. Yeah. Right. But what's your story? You obviously have a great pantsing story that you either.
No, I don't have a great pantsing story.
No.
I mean, first of all, when do you think the first person was pantsed? What year?
Do you have it on hand?
I did look it up.
The first pantsing.
Would it happen in a movie or something or?
Well, so basically they tried to trace the practice back in time. They think it comes from the 1910s, from the University of Oxford.
Okay.
Where it used to be called bagging. Oh. Because they used to wear baggy pants that were called bags.
Yeah.
And it was a common prank to yank them down.
Okay. Little hazing.
And it says,
yeah,
exactly. It says the trousers lent themselves well to the prank because of the ample material to grab onto. So... bags were the basketball shorts of their time.
Yeah, right. And do you think even back then, down came the underwear, down came the long johns?
Okay, Skeets, great question. That was the question I have in bold in my document. I said, when you pants someone, are you trying to just get the shorts or the pants down, leave the underwear on, or are you trying to get both layers off?
You're being a real. I get.
Okay. And can you control it? Can you even control?
Well, I say no. You cannot control it. How do you know what type of garment that person is wearing underneath there, if any at all? For crying out loud.
Back in 1910, you got bloomers that you can also grab onto, or like baggy boxer shorts. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, you're not grabbing those. Boxer briefs or whatever.
Probably
you
not.
You can't do it.
And I think, like, you really shouldn't be doing this at all.
No.
Especially anymore.
No.
But, you know, depending on the location of, at least in our time, where you were pantsing someone or de-pantsing someone, it was like, I hope you weren't trying to pull their underwear down in a school setting.
No.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, in the locker room, boys will be boys. You know, stupid idiots. But, But it happened. You saw it, Matt. I mean, for sure. I know you and your boys' school. I'm sure I saw a lot of de-pantsing. or pants. I don't know which one to call it.
Honestly, I would say it definitely happened, certainly. Yeah. But it was more of a summer camp thing.
Summer camp, yeah,
truly
okay.
Truly saw the most pantsing happening.
And was the were they trying to always get the underwear, or was it just to get the pants?
Well, I actually think this used to be funnier because more people used to wear briefs. No one wears briefs anymore. And there's right. something funny about pulling off, like if you pull off someone's shorts and they're just wearing boxer briefs, which are just shorts.
Yeah.
Have you really done anything?
Not really.
So it was funnier when you would pull them down and there'd just be a pair of tidy whities.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's sort of like a bonus, like a jack. You hit the jackpot if you pant somebody in this day and age and they're wearing tidy whities. I mean, oh, it's kind of like the surprise, like the bonus surprise. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm expecting some Ethicas under there or, you know, Calvin Klein's or whatever. And I'm seeing just a standard issue. Wow. Hanes? Whew.
But you know what? People that are wearing those?
Yeah.
They're generally cool. They're like, I mean, most people aren't wearing them.
Yeah.
So you're like, whoa.
Yeah, you'd have to pants 100 people before you found someone that was wearing white briefs.
Oh, right.
Yes. It's like, that's the golden ticket. You're going to the chocolate factory. You find
those. Also, sometimes people in white shorts
check
also.
Check the back. You might be already in the chocolate factory. But what was the point of this again?
Your point of it was you're so probably the luckiest you could ever be is pulling someone's pants down and they're wearing white.
Sure.
Boots.
Yeah.
It's like winning the lottery. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Or if they happen to be going commando that day, just.
Well, but then now it's too far. Now you're embarrassed. Now
Hold on. Are you the asshole because that guy decided not to wear underwear that day?
Well,
but
yes.
But you
yes,
physically
yes, yes.
assaulted him by pulling his
you
pants down?
You pulled his
down?
Pants down. Yes, you yeah, pulled his pants down, but yes. you weren't expecting him not to be wearing underwear. So who's the asshole?
Well,
who
no,
is
no,
the
no.
asshole?
You are the asshole. Because in the law, we have something called the eggshell skull theory, right?
Yeah. yeah.
Which is like... what if I just like push someone over and they fall and hit their head, but they have an eggshell skull, so it cracks and they die.
Right.
It's not my fault they have an eggshell skull. Now, but if I remember, it is your fault. It turns out it is your fault.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
From the legal
Yo,
perspective. 100%. You have to walk around thinking everyone's got an eggshell skull.
Right.
You have to walk around thinking everyone's got their cock and balls out under there.
So what's the funniest thing as the person pulling the pants down, besides tidy whities? Would it just be
yeah.
like... you know, a grown man with like superhero underwear or like something like a funny pattern. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the guy screaming, it's laundry day.
Yeah,
it's
right.
laundry day.
I guess like, yeah, straight up lingerie or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Secrets revealed.
Like there's really no funny. Honestly, the funniest part is just the idea that someone's shorts are so loose. You could easily yank them off.
Right.
Cause you can't do it with a pair of jeans.
No.
I mean, the pants are getting baggier
yeah.
now. Now, as the person who gets their pants pulled down, your only options are you pull them back up right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which most people do, like, instinctively.
Instinctively.
How could you not?
Or you just, like, lay them out
exactly.
loud and proud.
Hardy har har.
Look at
look
me.
Look at skeeties, whitey tighties. Mm-hmm. Let's have a laugh. Yeah, you got to do one or the other.
Yeah. I mean, that the latter is the power move. That's
oh,
yeah,
that's, a,
that,
yeah.
that's in your face.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, but the power move is like, oh, you miss some and pull it all off.
Oh, yeah.
Take
oh,
them
yeah,
off,
yeah,
throw
yeah,
them
yeah,
at
yeah.
the guy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But was this like, do you have a memory of being pantsed in like a traumatic moment?
I
can't really. I'm sure I must have been, but it's nothing's coming to mind.
My gut says I can't remember an incident either. My gut says it probably happened in a locker room setting for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely saw it happen there, but whether or not somebody, because it felt like it was almost contagious.
Right.
When panting was a thing for us, right? It
oh,
was like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like,
you get
oh,
reminded,
was...
like, oh, that's something in our arsenal. That's something
yeah,
we can do.
Exactly.
Like when people do the this thing, you know, this thing where you hold like your the okay sign
yeah, yeah.
below your waist, and if someone looks at it,
yeah, yeah.
it means you could punch them in the arm or something. What is that?
I know, yeah. I know. But you're right. It would be like you'd see somebody get pants. I guess there'd be a big old laugh. And then but you know what? Then you're sort of like, you're keeping an eye
yeah,
out for the
yeah.
rest of the day, rest of the week. You're like, oh, oh. crap.
You're wearing a belt. Let's just say that.
Right, right.
All right, next unpopular opinion. calling people who dislike you haters, unless you're some major influencer or something, is extremely egotistical and a great way to ignore your flaws. I'm going to come out and say, I disagree with this. I think calling people haters has been something I've been doing recently, and it's been a very positive change in my life. Because as someone that takes other people's opinions too seriously, just being able to say, oh, they're a hater, is very freeing to me. Now, I guess if you're like a delusional person that thinks everyone else is always wrong and you're the only right one, then it's not good. But I say give it a spin. It's like someone's not letting you merge. They're a hater.
They're a hater.
Yeah. So you're taking control of your life, you know? It's like they're preventing you from doing something instead of it being a random act of happenstance. I think it's been a positive addition to my life to call everyone a hater. Skeets, you're obviously a more public person than I am. How do you feel about calling people haters?
I don't do it all that often. I don't really have an issue with it. I think it is funny. I mean, it's a quick, like, it's very dismissive. It's over after. Mm-hmm. Like, if we were at least having an argument about something, and I'm tired of you trying to tell me why I'm wrong, then I can just say, well, you're a hater.
Right.
And it's like, it's sort of the equivalent of me plugging my ears and going, nah, 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 I can't hear you in a way or weird way. And it's like, okay, it's a little, because you're just like, well, what am I supposed to do now? But I don't, it doesn't come up that often. I didn't have much of an opinion on this. I don't know if you did, JD.
JD, someone sends you a tweet that says the audio in this podcast sounds like they were recording underwater in a hot tub.
Right.
You take it seriously or you just go, hater?
I always take it seriously immediately, and then I'll listen to it and go, all right, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
It
sounds like you could benefit from just saying that guy's a hater.
Yeah, but I'm open to criticism as well. Like, in that particular sense, sometimes something goes wrong, you know, or maybe something could be improved. I have lots of people criticizing my mixes and how things are done, but they're not hating. You know, if they say, oh, JD should shut his fucking mouth because he's not funny, then I say, well, that guy's just a hater, you know.
Right. Well, no one better tweet at you about the sound quality. Or do you think someone's going to say, were you using an MV7 shirt today? Because
that was 100%.
Yeah.
That's noticeably
very
better.
Very crisp. But in some ways, I think like major influencers and famous people, I understand why they need to just call people haters because there's just so many of them. But oftentimes, those are the kind of people that do need to be called out sometimes. Yeah. And just calling everyone a hater kind of dispenses with it. Mm-hmm. But anyways. For me, it's been a positive addition to my life.
Okay,
great.
When did hater come into our lexicon? Was it back in Oxford when somebody got pantsed?
Oxford.
Yeah. Why aren't you laughing, you hater?
It used to be called bagging. All right. Speaking of this is where the haters hang out, Skeets. The haters hang out on the internet.
Yes. Okay? Yes.
And the internet is full of people trying to tell you how to live your life. Mm-hmm. So it's time to decide if they know what they're talking about in. Is this a good rule? This is a sexy guy right here that I'm looking at.
Get a hammer in that guy's hand. Build me a sauna, thank you.
Put him in a hot tub, yeah. All right, well, today's rules come from well before the internet ever existed, even before Al Gore's ARPANET existed. We're taking you back to the year 1774, when George Washington penned his famous list titled The Rules of Civility and Decent Behavior in Company and Conversation. Okay, so these are, you know, the last time we did this, we did Walker Lemond's Rules for My Unborn Son. This was like in, I don't know, the late 2010s, writing rules for his unborn son. We talked about those, whether those were good rules. Now we're going way back, 300 years back. So George Washington had 110 rules.
110?
They're sort of like, yeah, they're all about etiquette. So like, let me give you an example before we start.
Okay.
Rule number one in the book is every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present. I mean,
sure.
Great rule, right?
Yeah.
Way to go, George.
But it gets more specific. That's rule number one. Rule 94. Maybe he's running out of things. If you soak bread in the sauce, let it be no more than what you put in your mouth at a time, and blow not your broth at table, but stay till cools of itself. So he's saying, okay, if you're going to dip something in a sauce on the table, don't throw the whole piece of bread in, like, or whatever. Just cut a bit off and just dip that piece in. And if someone brings you hot soup, don't be like, just wait.
Just... That's two rules to me. What's going on, George? Yeah.
Sounds like a hater, too.
Well, that's what the, I mean, you know what the haters are going to say about this.
No,
they're going to say, these aren't even George Washington's rules. These rules were derived from an original list of maxims compiled by French Jesuits in the 1590s that were eventually translated into English by Francis Hawkins in London around 1640. And George Washington, he merely copied these rules into the last 10 pages of a book of personal notes, likely to practice his penmanship.
Oh.
Interesting.
He literally was just practicing writing?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you can't say anything anymore.
Rule 111, George, don't plagiarize.
Yeah, well, you didn't give a shit. All right, so let's find out if some of these are good rules. Rule 32, okay?
Okay.
Again, this is written in old-timey words, so just think about it for a second.
Okay.
To one that is your equal or not much inferior, you are to give the chief place in your lodging. And he to who 'tis offered ought at first to refuse, but at the second to accept, though not without acknowledging his own unworthiness. Let's break this down. Let's use a practical example. You are about to travel to Toronto, correct?
Yes.
Are you staying in a hotel?
No, I'm actually staying with friends. I'm going to stay with the Thodies and then the Angelises. Yes.
Okay, perfect. So, when Thody would say, oh, you're coming to Toronto, why don't you stay in my place? Yep. According to George Washington, you should say, absolutely not. 'Twould be too much of an inconvenience. But then Thody's going to say, come on. You know, be worried. Just stay at my place. It's not too much trouble. You should then accept on the second time, but acknowledge your own unworthiness. So can I hear you do that?
Okay, fine. We'll sleep in the basement. But I am a piece of shit. I am horrible. And I'll probably steal something. But hold on.
Hold on. This is wrong.
Yes.
Right?
What Matt?
He's saying Thody should be
giving
saying,
him
my master bedroom. You're going to be sleeping.
Yes, that's how I heard that. George Washington.
Oh, yes. The chief place in lodging.
Yes. Thody is supposed to say,
yes.
You're staying with us. And you and Nora, you are staying in the master bedroom. Yeah. And I'm supposed to go, no way, man. The spare bedroom, the basement, just fine.
Right.
And he has to go, no. You are my guest. You shall sleep in the master bedroom. And then I say, fine, but I want you to know I am a piece of shit.
Right.
I shall be filling your linens with flatulence. Yes.
And, but also, Thody has to say, you are my equal or somewhat less inferior.
No, he doesn't have to say that, JD. He just has to evaluate whether Skeets is his equal or not much.
Oh, so if he does not offer his master bedroom, then I can take from that that I am not his equal, or at least close to it.
He's saying he's better than you, Skeets.
Oh, I think we can agree this is not a good rule, right? You shouldn't have to give someone your master bedroom.
No.
I mean,
right?
No.
Would you do that, JD?
Give my bedroom?
Yeah.
They don't want to sleep there. First of all, that is not a courtesy. That is like...
Well, what's going on in there? What is it, like a hot tub in there?
Basically. It's basically a hot tub with no water, that whole bedroom. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Nobody wants to be in there.
Also, like, I mean, George is living at a time where... I mean, we're not talking four-bedroom homes here.
No.
There might be one bedroom.
If there's a bedroom.
And then sleep with the horses.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. It's probably just one.
It's like, it's one bed. You should take it. I'll sleep on the floor.
Okay, Americans, don't get angry at us. There's three Canadians on here talking about your precious George Washington. The man you all wake up and salute. Okay? We don't know much about him. What color was George Washington's white horse? We don't know. Rule 56. Okay. Associate yourself with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation, for 'tis better to be alone than in bad company. So he's saying, if you respect yourself, it's better to be alone than to be around people you don't like or shitty people. I thought about this for a long time to think if this was true. I've gone through periods of moving places where I haven't really known people. And I've thought, like, is it better to hang with people I don't really like that much than to be alone? Or is it better to just be alone and not lower my standards?
What did you decide?
I decided that, like, sometimes you do have to be around bad company. And even though it feels maybe okay in the moment, but then you go home and you're like, oh, I kind of wish I hadn't done that. Mm. But sometimes the boredom will get to you, and it is better than being alone.
Define bad company, though. Like, what does that mean?
I think they, when I See You Smile, I think it was a British band from the
80s. I mean, you set them up for that.
Were they British, JD? I don't know.
I think they were, yeah.
Back when you could pee in an uninterrupted stream.
How dare you.
I guess bad company could mean anything from ne'er-do-wells to just people that are just annoying or have bad values or...
Okay. So you'd rather hang out with somebody like that, a ne'er-do-well.
I'm just saying sometimes.
I guess you have to know that those people are not great people.
I don't know what that means, not great people.
They're like a bit of an asshole. Yeah. What would that mean?
Okay. Right.
A little shady, maybe.
He's a bit of an asshole, but he does have tickets to the concert you want to see, JD. Is it worth going?
No, absolutely not.
No way.
I'm not hanging out with somebody that I don't want to hang out with.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if it's something you really want to do.
Yeah.
So an asshole has a private plane, and you're going to Europe anyways. Right.
Yeah.
And an asshole has a private plane. Like, why don't you hop on with me? Save yourself some money. You won't have to go take your shoes off at security.
I mean, it's tempting, but also then I have to spend the whole time with this guy, and then I feel like I owe him.
Yeah. Yep.
A ne'er-do-well. Okay. I don't want to owe a ne'er-do-well.
So it sounds like you're saying George Washington was on the money with this one.
Yeah.
It's a good rule.
I also think that this is sort of a way to keep the classes separate in George Washington's time.
Ooh.
Like, what defines
bad company means poor.
Maybe. Or beneath you in whatever way, in a way that I don't necessarily think that I, you know, would want to, you know, be part of that. But we're talking about toxic personalities and people who are no good for you to be around, then 100% I'd rather be by myself.
Okay, I think we need to read it in a modern context, because we said the first rule was bad in a modern context.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're saying it's good. This is a good rule. You're one for one, George. all right. Rule 78. Make no comparisons, and if any of the company be commended for any brave act of virtue, commend not another for the same.
Wow, you're gonna have to break this one down. Jesus.
Well, to me, this means we're sitting around a big table, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's think of an example here. There was a raccoon tapping on the window last night, and Skeets went out and chased it away with a broom. He was very brave. And then I giving that compliment, everyone goes, oh, wow. And then I go, oh, but JD as well, he is very brave, for he killed a spider the other day. You know, like, I'm supposed to let Skeets have his shine.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Interesting.
And I think you could say this is sort of the same for, like, if I give anyone a compliment for anything. I'm like, if I'm like, JD is a wonderful host. And everyone's like, oh, wow, praise to JD, hosannas. And they say, ah, but Skeets... threw a wonderful party the other week. Right. Also a great host.
So you're not supposed to do that, is what he said.
No, that's bad.
Right. Right.
No, make no comparisons.
Right.
George is crystal clear on this.
Hmm. Okay. Is he also saying it's like, well, I mean, it's not a great compliment if I just start giving compliments to everybody. It devalues maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. The one. I'm sure that's part of it.
Okay. That's a weird one.
So you're not offended by this?
Not really. No, not really. Yeah. Because why would... I mean, the example you're using, like, no one's going to do that.
Like, why not?
But, like, I don't know. If you were complimenting JD on his production, on the podcast, how much work he put into it, why would I or anyone else at the table suddenly feel like, okay, do me next. What am I good at?
No, yeah. You're not asking.
I'm not asking. Like, so then why do you, as George Washington in this example, I guess, suddenly feel like you should have to then move around and give everybody else compliments or whatever?
Oh, well, because people might feel left out.
Mm. Oh.
Okay. I mean, it's sort of like this example is, it's like your kids, right? If you have, you know, two kids, mm-hmm. and I go to Lincoln, I say, oh, You were wonderful in that performance that you were just in.
Okay.
And then I had turned to Jackson and say, and your drum recital 3 months ago was great too.
Okay.
Like,
I see.
Yes, this is a great point.
It's taking
away.
It doesn't mean as much for either kid, really.
Yeah.
So, right. But I think that's a good rule.
That's not bad.
A lot of parents, they want to do that. They want to spread, you know, you can't put one up over the other ever, but, you know, you have to sometimes to keep them competitive. No,
right.
But
I mean, this is like, to stick with the kid sort of angle and to bring sports into it, it's like, it is a little bit like the participation trophy for everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little bit here, right? And it's like, I mean, you get why you do it, but should we be doing it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so he's 2-for-1. That's what I didn't tell you, but it was a best-of-3 series.
Oh.
And this was going to, you know, make George Washington here, like, because not really known for much. So if he could be known for these rules of civility, yeah. I think that would be cool. And 2 out of 3 is pretty good.
Wasn't known for his penmanship, I'll tell you that.
No, smart guy, this G-dub. If you have other, like, books of rules or whatever, send them to me, isthisgoodpod@gmail.com, or tweet them to me. I don't know. I enjoy this segment, and I enjoy reading other people's rules. It's fun. We're reading them from 2020. We're reading them from 1774.
Maybe next time it'll be from
1890. Like a Miss Manners.
I was going to say Ann Landers, but yeah, Miss Manners.
Ann Landers too, yeah.
Yeah, it must be a package of their goods, right. Rules.
Yeah, send them to me.
Okay.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
All right, Skeets, there's only one thing left to do. It's time for subjective trivia. Subjective trivia, it's just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. This question, I'm not really sure about it, Skeets. Gonna be honest with you. But okay, so JD and I have been seeing a lot of movies lately.
Yeah,
right?
You have.
Now, we talk a lot about, like, seating on an airplane. We don't talk as much about seating in a movie theater and where's the best place to sit in a movie theater. So I really do need you to close your eyes and picture what I'm saying, because it's a lot of spatial reasoning here. So I'm going to ask you, what is the best seat in a movie theater?
Okay.
And I want you know how in most theaters there's like the first section, like the 3-4 aisles that are like right up against the screen?
Yeah, nobody's picking
then
that.
Then there's an aisle. Then there's the second section.
Yeah.
I'm only second section.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, okay.
Nobody wants to sit.
No one wants
up that close.
I mean,
some people do.
When you go, you could really see Captain America's muscles when you're sitting in the front row.
I guess now with like lounger type seats, it's probably not as bad as it used to be when they were just normal seats and you're cranking your neck up. Now you can sort of lie down in those seats, but anyway, I don't want them. Okay. Second section of a movie theater. Let's go.
Okay. It's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Are your eyes closed?
Yeah.
Okay. Halfway up the second section on the aisle.
Halfway up on the aisle. Okay. Can I ask a question?
And now, so this is the middle. This is the middle of the second
I was just going to ask, because a lot of these movie theaters have these, you know, 2, 3, 4 seats on the sides sections.
I know. I was trying to avoid saying middle, because it was like, I was going to say like the middle section in the middle.
And
this is even more confusing. Halfway up the second section. Halfway up the middle part of the second section.
Why didn't you make a map or like give a graphic?
You know, maybe I'll do an in post.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Halfway up second section in the middle. Okay?
Okay.
That was your second option. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
First row of second section in the middle.
First row of second section in the middle.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the stupid.
I think I'm with you.
Halfway up side section aisle.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the last option.
Wait, it's the easiest to understand.
Yeah.
Back corner.
Back corner. Okay.
Back corner.
Doesn't matter which one. Okay.
Doesn't matter which one.
Wow.
Okay.
I think I know the answer, actually.
Okay.
I know my answer. Well, it's between two, JD.
Yeah.
I'm guaranteeing it right now. This man is picking an aisle.
100%.
So we're picking either the one that's second section halfway up on the aisle.
Yeah.
Or middle.
In the middle. Or he's picking basically the equivalent to that, but on one of the side sections.
Side section. Yeah.
Which the pro for that is there's less traffic. Because the one knock on the aisle is, you know, could be some ins and outs and they're getting in the way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah, you're sort of by yourself a little bit. The problem is your angle's not going to be as good because you are a little bit on the side. Like Nora, when I go to a movie theater, she hates sitting too far to the sides.
Right.
I don't care.
I don't care either.
Is more of a, let's try to get a little bit more in the middle.
Yeah. I don't like being surrounded by people.
Yes.
And
yes,
I think
yes.
Well,
they say
the optimal focal point is to sit in the middle of the middle second section.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But I don't think you're going that. So do you agree with my...
I agree with you, but I will throw... A back? No, I have a question about the back.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
You say corner, but there are... Sometimes I like to sit at the very back, but at the end of the stairs, right? So there's nothing in front of you except stairs, right?
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because it just keeps going.
It's not that hard. It's not that hard to visualize what he's talking about. Yeah. Why is everyone laughing?
Because there's nobody behind you. You can... Yeah. There's tons of leg room. And you can get up and go whenever you want. It's like the Cadillac of aisle seats. But it
they
is
don't
far
have that seat in every theater.
You're asking this question in the 90s. We're debating this for hours.
Yeah.
But now the movie theater experience, like people behind you, people really even in front of you, you're so far removed from people in these giant ass chairs.
You're right.
It's like not that big of a deal anymore, I find.
That's 100% right. I think in this day and age, the last movies that I saw that I liked, which was Oppenheimer and Mission Impossible, I sat actually in the exact same seat.
Wow.
And guess where it was? It was the front row behind where the wheelchairs and stuff are.
Yeah.
So
you sat in the middle.
So middle, front row, and that's what I'm going to say it is.
Now, one thing you haven't talked about is what can you do in that row, JD?
You can hop over and just go wherever you
want. Yeah, you can put your feet up on that pocket.
And you can put your feet up. Although, again,
you
with
the
new
seats... You can put your feet up at a lot of these places now. You're not even close to the person.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Okay.
But anyways, I think that's the answer. Because it's so easy to get up and out. And you can put your feet up. I personally never recline. I never touch the controls.
I generally don't either. It's like a airplane policy with me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's fucking weird having people just lying in a theater. Like, anyways, that's totally.
It's amazing how quickly people get in their chairs, like,
yeah,
just lie down, like, go to fucking bed.
Right.
Like, I find it weird too, JD. I'm glad I'm not alone in this.
Yeah. Anyways. So does Nora, though, if you go to see a movie with Nora, does she...
She reclines.
She reclines. Well,
yeah, yes, she's not full on like some people, but there's a little get your feet up.
Yeah, Rachel does the feet, but...
Yeah.
But these lying and... Anyways, go ahead, Matt. What were you going to say?
Well, I wanted to be clear. Are you saying first row, second section, middle?
That's what I'm saying.
That's where he sat, and that's where he's going. I am going to go...
You're agreeing with him.
I'm going middle section. Okay. I'm going, obviously, whatever, second section, near the middle, on the aisle. That's my pick.
Okay. So that's halfway up second section, middle aisle.
Yeah. Not side aisle.
Yes, the middle part.
The middle part.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you're both wrong.
Oh, is that right?
This is a very unpopular opinion. Side section
on. I literally laid out the reason why he
laid out
like
the case perfectly.
I laid it out perfectly.
Yeah.
And the one thing you missed is that I can never sit still in a movie. Like, I can never just sit straight ahead, like, pupil style. So I always have a lean on, and I like to lean in that direction so my eyes are facing
the
screen
there. I was close. I was closer.
You were close. Honestly, that was great.
I should have went with it. I've sat with you, I believe, on a side.
In a hot tub.
On a side. Wow, hot tub at the movie theater. Interesting.
Yeah, that's the next.
Give it a couple
next.
Years.
Well, there's a next. Hot tub at a baseball game. You know they have those
right.
now?
Yep.
Disgusting. All right, Skeets, where can people find you? I guess Toronto.
Yeah, well, maybe not by the time you're listening to this. I'm probably back from Toronto, but follow me on
We recorded this 8 weeks before it's going to come out.
You can find me at J.E. Skeets on the X / the Twitter, on the Instagram, on anything else I'm forgetting. No, that's about it. And just check out No Dunks. The YouTubes. Make sure you subscribe. Mm. Make sure you like the vid. Tell a friend.
Any feedback to this show in the No Dunks feed? Should I ask you this question when we turn off the cameras?
No. I mean...
Nothing negative.
Oh, there's no feedback?
No, there is.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. George Washington said that.
I just keep responding hater to everybody in the comment section. People seem to be enjoying it. I think we've done a good job of getting people over to the Is This Good feed as well. In terms of, like you said, there's more content, get people in the Patreon. I was pissed. I'm not a Patreon member yet. I don't know why I keep putting it off. But what did you guys do? Was it the Barbie?
Oh, Barbie.
Big
movie,
Barbie yeah. review. Big
yeah,
Barbie
I mean,
review.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I've talked with Matty O offline about his Barbie thoughts. And somebody told me, who told me that, surprisingly, you were not that high on the Barbie movie.
Surprisingly?
I thought you would like it a lot more.
I thought I would, too.
Maybe that's the
All right, Skeets, that's for the Patreon. Again, you can do a free trial on the Patreon, patreon.com/isthisgood. If you have topics, email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts. On The Great Beyond, I'd love to be reading some great reviews on the Apple Store. That would be fun. Subscribe on YouTube. Remember, you have to go to the Is This Good YouTube to be able to watch the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks to JD. Thanks to Skeets for coming on. Thanks in advance for leaving a 5-star review. For everyone, I'm Matt Austin, and this was good. See you next week.